Glory to God. It's good to see you here today. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're with us, that you're in us. Thank you for filling this place today in a brand new way. Thank you for your weightiness upon us. Thank you for your atmosphere that's with us. We welcome. Thank you, Father, that you dwelleth with us. Thank you for the things you're showing us. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for all the training, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. You know, when you come to church, you don't always know what's inside that church until you hang out a while. A lot of churches have a lot of different things, a lot of different visions, a lot of different purposes. And our purpose is really not to have church so much as to find out how the kingdom of God works. Everything you look at, you can call it the kingdom, but it's most likely not the fullness of it yet. But God is, he's definitely revealing things. The spirit of wisdom is showing us things. And God wants his end time church to operate in the fullness of his kingdom. Not only he wants it, it's going to happen, amen? To do that, it requires a training and equipping. It's more than just surface revelation, milk, as Paul would call it. There's a reason for the heavy meat of God's word. It's not just to be wowed. There's a reason. It does something. It activates something. And God must bring his people. And a lot of churches, they tend to back off of the strong meat. And they build more milk because it's easier to digest. So you have a church that's full of a lot of people, but they don't know very much. There's not a lot of the glory there, and it's never going to bring the kingdom of God in. It's going to be a nice church. People are going to get saved. People are going to go to heaven. But the manifestation of God's kingdom is not going to come that way. God's kingdom must come to the full age. Amen? With that in mind, I want you to go to Luke 17. We're going to go a little further in accordance to this encounter I received last Saturday that's absolutely revolutionized the way I see things, the way I believe, the way I look at things. I had no idea how far off base I was until this encounter came with the Lord. He was preparing me for this, but wow, it was powerful. We shared into that last couple of services. Luke 17, we're going to go a little further, review a little bit. Luke 17, verse 20. It says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. That word observation is very interesting. We've already coined this phrase, but it means ocular evidence. And Mike coined that phrase ocular testimony. The kingdom of God is not going to originate. Say originate with ocular evidence. We are very, very trained as human beings. We're trained in the sight and the senses. This is how we live our life. And a lot of times we look for our breakthrough. We look for what God's doing next. We look for what we would consider his kingdom. A lot of times we look out here for that. We're looking. You wake up, and how many of you are wanting God to do something extraordinary for you? And a lot of times the tendency is to look out here, out in front of you, out into the world system. We look into that, and we're looking, but it says it's not going to originate with ocular evidence. You're not going to see something out here. A lot of times we'll even attach our breakthrough to something out there. We'll attach our breakthrough to something in the physical, something in the earth realm. When you do that, you will literally, believe this or not, bind the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says the kingdom of God, neither is it low here or there, but the kingdom of God is what? Within. Say within. It's going to originate within. It's going to be cultivated within. It's going to birth within. And then it's going to flow without. Amen? But until we learn and allow the Holy Spirit to readjust the way that we operate in faith, a lot of times we're operating faith, we're putting our faith in something out there to happen. Now, God will use your faith, and He'll give you breakthroughs and extensions out there, but the kingdom itself can never come that way. The kingdom of God will always originate within. Therefore, you're going to have to understand what all is going up on inside of you. Amen? Now, we got into this last Sunday, and we got into Wednesday night. I want to go back into this. If you'll go over to Genesis with me, we're going to look at this, because we're really, believe it or not, struggling with the same things that was from the beginning. You just don't know that you are. And I'm going to show you that today. Genesis 3, verse 4, this is when God told them, you can eat of all the trees of the garden. You know, in the book of Revelation said there was 12 manner of fruits upon the tree of life itself. Isn't that amazing? Tree of life has apostolic government written all over it. Amen. Number 12 is apostolic government. There was 12 different fruits there upon that tree of life. So God tells them, you can eat all these trees. There's only one thing you can't eat of. Now, I'm not going to get into why God put that tree in there, but He put it in there. Amen. That tree was there. He gave him a commandment. He said, don't eat this one tree. You can have anything you want. Now, if you understand, there was no commerce going on in the Garden of Eden. The trees was their whole substance. It was their food. It was their provision. It was everything. He put them in the garden. He gave them the tree. He said, you can eat from any trees you want. Just don't eat from this tree over here, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, sure enough, the enemy comes. Notice what he does. He does not lead them to himself. He leads them straight to the tree God told them not to eat from. Now, it's interesting because verse 4 said, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, because God said, you eat from this tree, you're going to die. He said, and God doth know that in the day you eat from this tree, your eyes shall be open. Now, notice what he's promising them. Listen, God knows if you eat from this tree that you'll be as God. Now, then he offered them, he was giving them the very highest. You eat from this tree, you're going to be like God himself. That's why he doesn't want you to eat from that tree. Now, he may not be offering you that yet, but he does offer that glory complex to a lot of people. If the enemy cannot beat the kingdom of God out of you, he'll buy the kingdom out of you. But he'll offer you anything in between. And you have to understand his purpose for doing that. His purpose is to draw you away from the tree of life, to draw you into his tree. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is sort of like the enemy's promise tree. It's the tree he uses to bait and to promise you. And he'll promise you a lot. Now, if he has to deliver on some of those promises, he will, only if it will keep you from the tree of life. But most time, he just likes you chasing that tree, chasing those promises for a lifetime, but never truly inheriting. And he's really good at what he does. Notice what happens. Notice what he says. And when the women saw, look with this. This is what she saw in the tree. When she saw that the tree was what? Good for food. Food was everything then. That was their whole provision. She saw that it was good for food. Notice that she saw that it was what? Pleasant. Say pleasant to the what? Eyes. He's always going to use something to take your eyes off of the tree of life, off of the kingdom of God, and put it onto his system. Now today, that tree of knowledge and good and evil, he said it's also a tree that'll make you wise. He'll offer you a wisdom that's not in accordance to the wisdom of God, but he'll offer you a wisdom. And he's very good at it. You just don't always know he's offering you these things. Because you can't always see. When I had this encounter last Saturday morning, and that sword of the Lord, the Bible says his sword is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder with soul and spirit. When that sword gets activated, it begins cutting things you don't even know that are there. And he activates it. And what he showed me, he said, listen, you're never going to receive the kingdom of God as long as you're looking outwardly for it. As long as you even have a capacity to look out there. As long as you're attaching your breakthrough to something out there. Because in essence, what you're taking is the promises of God and you're binding them to an earthly system. God is not going to have his kingdom originate with something from the world. When Jesus said, he said, the virtue flowed out of him and he healed them all. Out of your innermost being will flow the rivers of living water. But because we don't know how to get those waters out, because we don't know how to get that kingdom flowing, what the enemy does is he offers us something that can originate outwardly, an outward operation. And he'll usually tap the capacity of your soul to work with him in that. The soul has an innate capacity to bypass, circumvent the kingdom of God. Or, if the enemy can't get you to stop it altogether, he'll give you some mixture. He loves the operation of mixture. Say mixture. This is where God allows these things in permissible state. But when we're looking for the fullness of the kingdom of God, God's going to do it his way. He's going to do it the kingdom way. Amen? And it's going to have to originate within, which means we're going to have to lose our capacity to look without. We got to lose our desire for the tree that makes us wise. We got to lose our desire to look upon that tree because it was pleasant to the eyes. He's not going to offer you something that's not pleasant. He's going to offer you what you want to hear. In fact, he's going to create a scenario that's custom built around your promise. It's just going to circumvent your trust in the Father. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. But what we do is in the morning, we trust God, we believe God, ask God, and then all the day long, we're looking out here. And that is what's circumventing the kingdom of God. So she said, now notice what this tree does. When they ate from it, notice what this tree did. Verse 6, the woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes. You're going to have to learn to turn your eyes inward. Now, those of you that haven't learned how to keep the word of God, you haven't learned the dynamics of the kingdom of God within. The Bible says the communication of your faith becomes effective. Listen to this. In Philemon, the communication of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging of every good thing in you in Christ. He literally says you need to turn your faith inward. How many of us always turn our faith outward? He's telling you, turn your faith inward and acknowledge. You're going to have to get in tune with what's going on. Because if you don't, you have no anchor. You have no grid for faith. What do I'm looking for inside here? How do I exercise faith within? I don't know how to do that. If you don't, the enemy's going to take that part of you, he's going to draw it without, and he's going to draw it into his tree. Now, in this day, he's not actually having you eat from a tree. He's having you eat from that tree that's all grown up. Because that tree is in the world system now. Men have been eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil since the conception of their birth. The worldly systems that we grow up in, the systems of this world, they're all developed from that original tree. So he's having us look to this system and look to that system and look to that and look at this. Well, all it's designed is to draw us outwardly. What does God say? Trust. Say trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not to thine own. That's hard to understand because every one of us think we actually do that. Until a light comes that's not of this world that shows us how often we don't. I'm catching myself now since he's done this. When we want to do something or we need something, how the soul starts its ingenuity to try to manufacture that. Because it doesn't really believe God will do it. The reason we're not getting answered prayer on a consistent basis, we haven't met his condition. We can go in the world, we get our jobs, but listen to me. Your job and your occupation is what God has assigned to you. But that is not your ultimate source. He alone wants to be your ultimate source.
He doesn't want you to look at your life, all your life, and decide whether you can do something or not do it according to what, how much money you got, what your paycheck looks like, because what you're going to confine yourself. When you want something, you got to think, how am I going to do that? You're not. You're not going to do it. How am I going to get over there? So you're looking outward. You're looking to yourself. You're looking at all, and your mind's going around, 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 around. How can I make this happen? You don't know. All that is being influenced by the tree of knowledge and good and evil. The enemy's influencing your soul. He's influencing your life to constantly have you entangled in his system. All the while, the Bible says, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. He said, all these things the Gentiles seek. He says, but seek first the kingdom. And people will say, you don't need to seek that stuff. Seek the kingdom. What he's saying there, and he said, all these things would be added. How many of you have been going to church, following God, loving God, and nothing's being added to you? Because that's not what he's talking about. I love God, going to church, laying my life down. I'm seeking the kingdom, God. I'm working in the kingdom. I'm laboring the kingdom. But nothing's being added to you. It's being subtracted. It's being divided. Because that's not the kingdom he's talking about. He said, seek my kingdom, how it works. Put that first. Don't spend your life in the accumulation of things. But seek my kingdom. Seek how it works. Understand. Spend your time seeking the one that will teach you how this. Because it's your Father's good pleasure to give you this kingdom. Oh, how often does it really ever flow? The God knows you have to grow up and develop in the operation of the kingdom. So he gives us extensions like the gift realm. He'll give us extensions, but that's not the fullness. We need the kingdom. We need to wake up in the kingdom, go to bed in the kingdom, flowing in the kingdom. For that to flow, we're going to have to understand how it works. We're going to seek it first. We're going to have to put it first. We're going to have to learn to remove ourselves from the ocular evidence. I said this last week. I'll say it again. Because there's two churches in the last days. One's operating in the tree of life, and one's operating in mixture. I'm going to show that to you. Abraham, did God not tell him to look outwardly? You're telling me to look, but God told him to look at the stars and look at the sand. He did tell him that. But he never told him, hey, that birth's coming from the stars. Look to the stars for your birth. Look for the sand. It's coming out of sand. That's not where that birth's coming from. That birth is coming from within. You cannot find the breakthrough out there. It's got to happen here. By faith, Sarah received interiorly dunamis creative power to conceive. Amen. Now that's a hard adjustment to rearrange the where you look, how you appropriate faith. Because we're so outward all the time. We don't understand this inward thing. And the enemy's constantly pulling you outward. He'll pull you out by your own desire. He'll pull you out with your own sufficiency. You'll be amazed when you see how much your sufficiency is in action. God wants us to live by faith, to believe him, to trust him, to hold the line. To receive his word is the final authority, the final evidence. To know that that is enough, that we need not look anywhere out here. It's eventually going to manifest out there. But it must originate within. And for it to originate, when I was in this counter, listen, this is very important you hear this. When I was in this counter, the Lord spoke to me. He said a lot of things in this encounter. Some of the things I remember. He brings them back to my remembrance. But in this encounter, he was explaining to me how it worked. He's trying to get us to the place of answered prayer. Kingdom come. Like the Lord. He goes, do you not know that I could pray to my Father right now? 12 legions of angels would show up right now. How many of you can pray like that? Come on, Big Houston. What you got?
What you got, Big Houston? Come on. See what you got. It's easy to know everything. The proof is whether it starts manifesting. Can you believe God for something beyond yourself that you can't do? Because the enemy surely wants to confine you to what you can do. Can you take on something and hold the line until the manifestation of what that is comes into the earth God's way? That's beyond your capacity. Then you got something. We're always looking, how can I do it? We always know, well, God's got to do it. But you got to get involved in the process of how God's going to do it. Because he's going to do it through you. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, wisdom, say wisdom, is the tree of life to those who find her. I remember Christine called me this week, and she got an awesome revelation. She goes, if the tree of life is wisdom, then the harlot of chapter 7 must be that tree of knowledge of good and evil. I said, that is right. She represents the world system. She lieth at wait at every corner of your life, seeking you. What has she said? She goes, I have sought you diligently. I have sought your face. She wants your face. She wants your eye gates. She wants your eyes fixed upon her. She wants your eyes fixed upon her system. She don't care if you carry the promises of God. She just wants to dangle all the carrots out in front of you. Look out here. Look out here. Look to this thing. Look to that thing. Look, this is the way you're going to, this is the way you're going to do it. And the Bible says it's going to originate within. It must originate within first. So we spend a life chasing carrots. Listen to this. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. I ran across this scripture. I'm like, wow, you're going to like this. Proverbs 17, verse 24. Says, wisdom, say wisdom, is before him that hath understanding. You can understand this scripture now. But the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Let me read it to you the way the Holy Ghost read it to me. Wisdom is before the face of him that has understanding. But the eyes of a fool, his face is in the ends of the world. His eyes are always fixed into the ends of the world. I'm not talking about going to all the world and preach the gospel. See, wisdom to him has understanding. His eyes are glued. It's before the face of wisdom. See, you're in the face of wisdom. But to the fool, his eyes are everywhere else, looking for the answer everywhere else. But see, you don't know you're doing it. Because the soul has no, you have no capacity to really understand what your soul does until light shows up. That's why we need strong meat. Because strong meat, what? Brings light. Now go to Hebrews and you're going to understand this scripture. Wisdom is before the face of him that hath understanding. Because you know you got to plant your eye gates in wisdom's house. But to the fool, his eyes are going to be in the ends of the earth. Misplaced faith, misplaced affection. Now, look at this in Hebrews 5. You can definitely understand this scripture now. Now, remember, Hebrews 4 is the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder what? Soul and spirit. We need the dividing. The body of Christ must have that activation of that sword for the dividing. We must have a level of word that can bring forth that dividing. Because it's in that dividing you understand what your soul has been doing. You understand the misplaced affection. You understand the things, how God works. You understand what you've been doing, how you've been in the way. You can't see that without that dividing. God has a sword. It's a good sword. It removes the problem. That's why you got to keep his word. Keeping God's word will activate that sword. And that sword's going to cut asunder the problem. You're going to understand how to operate with God. We have a kingdom that God is requiring to give birth into the earth. If you think it's easy, I said this last week, I'll say it again. Give me one ministry in the United States operating in the fullness of the kingdom of God with fullness of manifestation, demonstration, signs, miracles, wonders of the raising of the dead, the way Jesus said we would raise the dead. Freely you receive, free to give. Paraplegics, blind, deaf, and dumb. Add the insane in there with it. Add the bipolar, manic depressions in there with it. Give me one place, one church. 300 million people in this nation. Probably at least a million ministries and a million churches. At least one. It's operating the way the Lord said we could operate. Anybody want to throw a name out? Kind of sobering, isn't it? Is God not ready? All of us are operating in part. We're still tired of being in part. We want to come into wholeness. We want to come into fullness. There must be a training. We must understand what's in the way. One of the largest things, one of the biggest mountains that I personally had was this one. Misdirected faith. No, I was directing my faith in God the right way, but the enemy was redirecting it as soon as I'd come out of the prayer closet, redirecting it out here. Redirecting it out here as God's kingdom that's going to come from above is going to originate in the earth somehow. He's going to take some earthly event and originate his kingdom. There must be a birth within, a flow within, a release within, a birth within that constitutes the reality of the kingdom that releases. And then that kingdom from above causes the world's systems to bow. And the reason we're not getting that kind of power on the scene, it's because we're operating in power and we have misplaced affection. There's a lot of mixture in the church. Now, I'm not condemning anybody or anything because we're still in power, but we're getting some major keys. Now, listen to this. Hebrews 5. For everyone, there's one of the big problems right here. There's one big, big, big problem. The church has learned you can feed the multitude's milk. You can give them an unaccountable message. You can preach things that doesn't challenge them. You can preach things without meat. And you can fill buildings up. They have church growth seminars that teach you how to do this. They teach you, don't preach past 18 to 21 minutes because the attention span for that kind of people, we're going to leave in 18, 21, have good praise and worship, 18 to 21 minute message. Very good church growth programs, very good children, and they know you get everything and create it, mostly stay along the lines of social, family, marriage. They have all of the sermons laid out, and the people will flock to it. Don't keep them there very long. Don't teach above their head. Jesus constantly taught above everyone's head. Every time he taught, his own disciples that followed him had to get a private session with him and said, could you please explain to us what you meant? Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Say the mysteries. If we don't understand the mysteries of the kingdom, how are we going to operate in the kingdom? That's why there's no kingdom flowing. It's just church. It's filled with a lot of nice people. But when it comes to the power to get things done, the fullness and the flow of that kingdom, we don't know how to get it in the earth. It'd be a lot easier if we just admit that. We can get started somewhere. We just admit, don't really know how to do it yet. A lot of the preachers don't like to get up because they like to be the man. They are the man. I mean, one preacher, he was preaching on miracles, signs, and wonders. He goes, look, I got this. I'm teaching you how to get it. And I have yet to see one miracle flow out of his ministry. It'd be better if we just say, we don't have this yet, but we're on the trail. Hot on the trail. We have conformed this church to that assignment. Understand the Holy Spirit has conformed this church. Understand how this kingdom flows. One of the great, 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 great things we have learned is keeping his word. Because that word's going to activate the two-edged sword. And a two-edged sword is going to cut asunder the capacity to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Or the system that's produced over the centuries. It's going to keep us from looking outwardly. It's taught us to look inwardly. The temple of God is within you. Kingdom of God is within you. Out of your belly is going to flow the rivers of the kingdom. The waters that I give you will be a fountain of water springing up within you. He cleaved the rock in the wilderness, and the water sprang up, and that rock was Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory is up in you. The Holy Ghost is teaching us how to unlock this thing. And we're getting better every day. Oh, man, this week, 10 different times I've recognized systems of thoughts that I'd operate and how I would go outwardly. I could never have recognized that. 10 different times alone in 1 week. Full gospel. How I went outwardly, looking out to the world. You know what that does? So when I was in that counter, he taught me how this works. He goes, ultimately, the Father will give the ultimate authorization for the release of the kingdom. That's why you pray to the Father. The Bible says he will reward you openly. The Father's the one that makes the call. Jesus said, you'll pray to the Father in my name. He said, ask in my name. So we're in the name. I said in the name. Like you screaming it loud is going to make it come. Your vocal cords is not going to cause the Father. The fact that you can raise them up or lower them, that's not what he's looking for. He is going to give the release from the name of Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth has been placed into that name. All the riches of the glory are placed in that name. The key of David is in that name. Everything is in that heavenly trust account, the name of Jesus. Everything's been purchased, done, and finished. It's all in the name. When the Father gives the authorization, it's going to, a distribution's going to be drawn out of the name. And the Holy Spirit's going to take that distribution, allocation. He's going to bring it out from within. He's going to release it into the earth. He'll turn water into wine. He took the virtue, he created miracles. He'll cause the creative. He'll cause the manifestation. But it's all going to release this way. It's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're going to get the job done. What is the Father looking for if he's ultimately? Yeah, I know every one of us prayed 1,000 times. I prayed in the name. I've done it every. I worshiped before I did it. I prayed in the name. I'll tell you ultimately what he's looking for. See, the Father's going to require something very huge. And if you don't hear anything today, hear this. Because I'll teach you how to get answered prayer. Because I'm getting there. I got my list now. I'm starting to pray. Pray to the Father. What did he say? Have faith in God. He didn't say have faith in you, in the world. Have faith in God. What's the Father requiring? That you have utmost respect for the sacrifice of his Son. So it's like this. So you're praying. You're holding the Word of God. Father, I believe. I thank you, Father, that I'm holding the kingdom of God. I believe. I receive it. Kingdom of God's within me. Thank you. Glory. Hallelujah. And so you do your prayer time, right? Make your request made known unto God. Keeping the word, generating faith. And all of a sudden, he takes, see, in the past, listen to this. What I would do is actually put my hands to something out there. You don't need that. All you got to do is put your belief system to it. Because I put my belief system in here, and then the enemy would draw it out. There. He would draw it out to an event. How many of you have ever been to conferences and they start talking about the feast days and the feast days are coming, revival's coming on this day or that day? How many of you ever heard that? I mean, every feast day they come around, they start prophesying the same things. It's resurrection day, obviously resurrection. Christmas comes, it's the birth of Christ, he's going to birth it now. Drawing you outwardly. Are some events going to happen that's going to release the blessing? Right? Notice what happens. Your faith is drawn out here when it was supposed to originate in here. So instead of letting him finish it, he drew your faith outward. He said, Lord, when this event happens, that'll answer my prayer. Now, what did God say? My God would supply all your need of what? According to his riches in the earth. Riches in what? Glory. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Where's the kingdom? Within you. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in the earth. Thy will be done on the earth as it already in the earth.
It's got to come from heaven. The kingdom's got to come from above. And it's got to come out first. Yes, it's going to go out there and grab something and cause it to bow down and create the blessing. But it's not going to originate out there. And as your faith goes out there for its origination, guess what? You're saying, I don't really believe it's coming this way. It's going to go that way. And you, by design of the enemy, are directing how God's going to get this thing done. And it plugs you up. Now listen to this verse. Are you in Hebrews 5? It's very difficult to discern you do that. That's very hard. It takes training. Hebrews 5 verse 3, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is what? A babe. But strong meat, look at this, belongeth to those that are full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised what? Discern between what? Good and evil. Their senses are exercised to discern which tree they're operating out of. Because you don't know when we're babes. And without strong meat, you're never going to know. There's too much mixture. It's too easy because the enemy's tree looks just like God's tree a lot of times. He's trying to get your faith off of God's tree to his tree, and he's very, very skilled at doing that. It's one of the most undetected operations of the enemy to date, and it cannot be detected. I don't care how smart you are. It's not going to be detected with your intellect. It can only be detected by an operation of strong meat. Because the strong meat's going to cause the sword to activate the separation of soul and spirit. When the separation of soul and spirit, you'll understand which tree you've been operating out of or looking to. Revelation chapter 3. You don't think it's a big deal. It's the whole deal. It's the reason why we're not getting answered prayer. The kingdom of God's not going to originate in ocular testimony. Ocular observation. It cannot. Ocular evidence. What did he say? Thy word is the evidence. Thy faith is the evidence of the thing not seen. Amen. I'm going to tell you another thing, and some of you may have been trained this way, but I'm going to share something with you. Listen to me on this one. There's a lot of training goes around because faith movement's got a lot of this going on. They know. They understood a lot of these things. But here's what's been added. Wasn't by the father of the faith movement, but it's been added. You stand and believe God. Make your request known unto God. Make the word the final authority of your life, and then take an offering. Take an offering and sow your seed on the behalf of what you're believing God for. Now listen, that's an operation. But here's what happens when you do that. You take yourself from the position of being a son to the position of being a servant in the Father's fields. And what you do when you do that, every action you take, belief system or otherwise, in what you're believing for, every action will be accounted for. When I do that, you are confining God to your offering system. You're taking an unlimited God and positioning him into a sowing and reaping system. And he can only provide according to what you're sowing in determining what you're going to reap. You're taking and binding that request to an operation of sowing and reaping. So now your return, your blessing is going to come by what you do and how much you do. If you want more, give more. But you spend your life that way. That is an operation of sowing and reaping. That's not the operation of inheritance. Because inheritance does not require that. But inheritance requires that you believe the unlimited God. You must believe the unlimited God. He doesn't need an extra step like that because you're operating by kingdom inheritance. We want fullness of kingdom. I can't limit him to become a sharecropper in the fields of the Lord, when we as sons own the field. The sharecropper goes, you know what sharecroppers do? They go work their field. They sow, and they get a part, they get the provision from what they've sown. Why? When you sit in the king's house as a son, do you want to confine yourself to that operation? Yes, we are to give. Yes, we are to be a blessing of the Lord, but when it comes to our faith, we don't need to bind our faith to anything. Watch what you're binding your faith to. It will affect the answer to your prayer. God wants raw, unadulterated faith that originates from the kingdom of God within, the word within. Communication of your faith becomes effective by acknowledging, keeping, holding. Hold the line. Why does he call it the word of patience? Ever wonder why he called it the word of patience? Patience is designed to draw out the problem. Because when you're believing God something and you're having to hold it long enough, the frustration's going to come out. But more than that is your own capacity. The enemy's going to tap your capacity. He's going to tie it into something in his system and get you to look to his tree because it's pleasant to the eyes. It's good for your food. My tree can satisfy you. Don't you know if you eat from this tree, you'll be as God? I can give this to you. What do you think he did when he tempted the Lord? Son of God had not performed one miracle yet. If you be the Son of God, turn this stone out here to your provision. He said, no, I don't take orders from you. I don't eat from your tree. I live by the Father and every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. I'm under subjection to the Father. The Son of Man can do nothing. He would not take the bait. He could have easily done that. He wouldn't do it. He was subjected to the way God the Father wanted it done. Every word that proceedeth out of your mouth, Father, this is the way I'm going to do it. Not going to bypass. You don't understand. This is what wisdom was compelling in the book of Proverbs. She was compelling, constantly compelling you. Bind these words on the frontlets of your eyes. Keep them. You don't understand that harlot. You don't understand. She lieth in every corner of your life. She's looking for your affection. She wants your face. She wants your countenance. She wants your eyes. She wants your faith attached. She wants to draw you out, see. Just like he did the original ancestors. This harlot wants to draw you into her system. There's going to be two final churches in the last days. Church of Philadelphia and the Church of Laodicea. Church of Philadelphia was given the promise, because you've kept my word. It was a dependent church. It was a church that knew God. It was a church that was dependent on God enough to keep his word, to know they couldn't do this without God, because you kept my word. I'm going to open before you the open door by the key to the house of David. I'm going to give you the house of David. I'm going to give you the government of David. I'm going to give you the whole thing. I'm going to put a crown on you. Because you kept the word of my patience, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation. God crowned that church with victory. I believe that church is the rider of the white horse of Revelation 6. We've already taught into that. Then you had the other church, Laodicea. Two churches running side by side. One of them absolute dependent on God. One of them that pleased God more than all the other churches. One that inherited the key of David. So we know the Father authorized the distribution, because he gave, the Son has the key of David, and the Son opened the door to the government. The key of the house of David flowed through that church. The king priest government to come, the reigning of the kings and priests are going to be given to the church of Philadelphia. They got it. They met the condition. They kept the word. They got it. Say they got it. God opened the door that no man could shut. Kingdom came through. Then you have the church of Laodicea. I want to read a couple things about this church. In closing, I want you to hear this, because this is another church. This is the one that nobody thinks they're in. The angel of the church of Laodicea, in verse 14,
Revelation 3, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Man, he's hard on them. You're neither cold nor hot. It's quite acceptable in this hour to be lukewarm. So then because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, you know what he said. I'm going to spew you right out. Boy, the Pentecostal holiness preachers, they love getting on this verse. Man, they'll breathe fire when they say it. They'll spew you right out. Verse 17, he tells them what he's upset about. Both churches are going to be highly blessed, by the way. Church of Philadelphia is going to be, because they get the house of David, the key, the house of David. That's a treasury key. They're going to get the floodgates open to them, but it's going to be done by God. God's going to authorize the distribution from him that has the key of David. That means they made the Father very happy. Look at Laodicea. Because you sayest, I'm rich, and I'm increased with goods, and I what? Have need of nothing. I got it. I got this one, Lord. I can handle it. It's the church of full-blown self-sufficiency that thinks they know God because they know how to go out there and be blessed. Now, I'm not talking about those who are being blessed here. Don't misunderstand me. This church was integrated deeply in themselves. This was their problem. The other one was integrated deeply in trust and dependency on God, and God blessed them. The other ones blessed themselves. He said, and you knowest not, you're wretched, miserable, poor. Now notice what he said the last two. Blind, you cannot see, and you're naked. Because the one thing the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is going to do, listen to me very clearly, and I'm closing, this tree wants to take the glory. The cost to serve this tree is she's going to take the glory. What happened to Eve? They found themselves naked. First thing they want to do is they wanted to hide from God, and they lost their glory. When someone loses their glory, the first thing they want to do is hide from God. That's the church of Laodicea. We got this, God. We thank you. We've got the fire insurance. He said, you don't know how naked you are. You don't have my glory. God wants us to be dependent. God wants us to be blessed. You think the Lord became our poverty if he didn't want you to be blessed? You think he opened the key of the house of David to a full-blown church if he didn't want them to be blessed? He wants you to be blessed. He just wants you to trust him. And if he's constantly putting you in a position to trust him, start rejoicing. He's doing you the greatest favor ever. Now I want to close with this. Second look. This is very important because most of us live our life in a position we're always having to trust God. How many are constantly in a situation that's out of your control? That is God's doing. He's not doing that to teach you something. He's doing that to create an atmosphere of dependency and faith so true faith will arise. You can't depend upon yourself so faith will come out. You cannot get bitter. If you get bitter, you'll get nothing. If you complain and murmur, you'll get nothing. So take the position you're in, become thankful, and begin to exercise faith and say, thank you, God, that I can believe, I can trust, and I am in a situation that I cannot get out of. So my capacity to eat from that tree is being cut off. I need only the tree of life. And start developing the kind of faith the Father's looking for so he can draw you out in his goodness. He wants to draw you out in his goodness. He doesn't want you living there all your life. But you got to respond the right way. Stop trying to climb out yourself. Stop taking every carrot the enemy said, take this carrot. I'll bring you out. Chasing the carrot all the way. Chasing. How you doing? Still chasing the carrot. I see it. Come here. Look. It's right there. I see it. Come on. Follow me. The carrot's right there. Come on, follow me. It's right there. See the carrot.
God's going to do it. It's right there. Follow me. God's going to do it. It's right here. I got it right here. Kingdom of God's right here, and it's coming out. I'm not looking anywhere else but that birth. By faith, Sarah received dunamis power. And she conceived. She received it within. Christ came from within. Isaac came from within. Kingdom of God is within you. Out of your belly will flow. Listen, the King is coming with all his glory, with all his power. He's coming. And he's going to come through his people. He's redirecting our faith. He wants to mightily bless us. He just wants us to dependent people upon him, that love him, that know that he, his tree is our source. We don't need the other tree. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Keep his word. Love God. Let's just do something real quick today while we're here, corporately. Father, today we come before you corporately. We ask forgiveness for what we can see and what we can't see. The capacity that self has to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the times that we have stood in faith, but then were drawn away. The times our trust was divided. The times that we were double-minded. Father, forgive us for not just trusting enough to know you could bring this kingdom from within. That the sacrifice of Christ, the inheritance of Christ was enough. You truly, truly, truly could answer the prayer from within. You could bring it forward without all the stuff that we do. Without looking to the systems of the world. Without binding it to the earthly systems. To know that you would love us enough. That you have loved us. It was your good pleasure to give us this gift. That we could be a people that would just believe. Without the doubt in the heart to look outwardly. To stay with your word long enough. To stay with your way long enough. To look in the right place long enough until the manifestation showed up. By Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Instead of flesh, human sufficiency, and human effort. Father, forgive. Father, wash us. Grant us light. Grant our eyes the capacity to see. Open our eyes to see. Father, we give our eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal inheritance that is above. We give our eyes to you, Father. We take them from the world. A foolish man's eyes are in the end of the earth, but the wise, a man of understanding will have his eyes fixed upon wisdom's tree, the tree of life. Fix our eyes. Teach us how to train our eyes until the promise manifests. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is